Good morning. My name is Greg Frank. I'm the hearings officer for hearing the case before us this morning. During this time segment, it's 212-0014. It is a code case. It is the City of Portland versus the Federal National Mortgage Association. I'm going to check with the clerk because we have not had any, we don't have anybody here on behalf of respondent. So is there anything I should know about contacts with the respondent?
Looks like we received a phone call on the 8th asking about rescheduling the hearing, and then we did receive a request to reschedule. And it looks like that request was granted, and we have not heard from them since that new hearing notice was mailed.
All right, and we, what's the exhibit number that relates to the request for the reschedule? Is that number 17?
I have up through 20.
Yeah, I know. It's exhibit 17, the request to the
17 or 18. I can't tell from this list.
It all right. Like I think it's both, actually, now that I look at it. And just to double check, where did we send a rescheduled notice of hearing to the property management firm in Utah?
We added Real Property Management to the mailing list, and so there is an updated mailing list that would have, Exhibit 19 is the updated mailing list that would have everybody that the new hearing notice was mailed
okay.
to.
Okay, and I'm now looking at Exhibit number 20, and it does include Real Property Management in West Jordan, Utah. All right, I'm going to find that the notice of hearing was originally sent. A request for a reschedule was received and granted, and a copy of the notice of the rescheduled hearing was sent to both the original addresses as well as the new address for the property management firm. So I'm going to find that we made the appropriate efforts in granting notice to all necessary parties. I'm going to find at this point that respondent or anyone acting on respondent's behalf has failed to appear. Mr. McKee, if you'll raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear a firm testimony about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
First name, last name. Spell your last name. Give us your work mailing address, please.
Mitchell R. McKee, M-C-K-E-E. My work address is 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue, Suite 5000, Portland, 97201.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead. You may present your case.
Prior to that, I want to submit some additional exhibits.
All right. Whenever you're ready, Mr. McKee.
Sure. First of all, I guess I want to go ahead and offer the exhibits 1 through 20 plus the additional exhibits I just now submitted. There should be three separate exhibits there. This
22, 23. I will admit exhibits 21, 22, and 23 in addition to the 1 through 20 which you offered originally.
Thank you. This property, basically, the file has not been open very long on this property, but it encompasses some of the more serious issues that Title 29 addresses, which is lack of power and lack of heat. We sent – We sent the original notice on March 14, 2012 to the owner, listed as Federal National Mortgage Association, and the ownership of the property is listed as Federal National Mortgage Association, and they give a mailing address in Pasadena, California. We mailed our notices there, notified them of the violations. We received no response, and I'm going to go ahead and demonstrate the violations that I found on my inspection. The first one, in attachment A, is a fire life safety issue. The dwelling has no power, no electrical service. I reconfirmed that this morning, and there's no meter on the meter base. Previously, I had called the electric company and found that there was no power there as well. Item number two, portions of gutters and downspouts clogged with vegetation. That was actually remedied. When I was there this morning, they had cleaned out the gutters and downspouts on that structure. Just as an aside, this is a fairly, this is a little larger lot. It includes two structures. 4650 is the primary. It's a single family toward the east side of the lot. There are also two additional addresses, 11206 and 11216 Northeast Wygant, located on the northern edge of the property. So this violation list addresses the rear structure at 4650 on the east side, plus the general property itself. Item number three, the porches of the front walkway are damaged and uneven, posing a hazard to traffic or pedestrians and occupants, a fire life safety issue. If you look at the new exhibit photographs, I took a couple photos of that this morning. First page, the middle right and the lower left shows the sidewalk that's broken and uneven. I cited the, there's a trash and debris on the exterior property areas. At the north side of the north building, there's a trailer full of trash. I cited that on my first visit. I again noted it this morning. It still remains there full of trash. Number five, portions of the floor coverings, this is at 4650, are damaged, are stained and dirty. If you look at my exhibits, the photographs there, there's two sets of photographs basically. One is numbered in hand, one and two. Then there's a number of typed pages there, and I'm going to refer to those. And if you look at page 19 and 20, you can see the floor, the carpet there is badly stained. On the left side, there's two photographs that depict that. And then again, over on the right side lower, you can see that as well. I should also note that the photographs that are numbered exhibit 7, which includes 24 pages, were submitted to me by the police when they visited the property. Item number 6, the fire life safety issue, bedroom emergency exit is blocked with personal belongings. You can see that on page 2 of 24, exhibit 7. The lower two pictures show that the egress window there is blocked by personal belongings. Number 7, unapproved use of excessive use of extension cords creating a possible fire hazards. That's visible in on page 2 of exhibit 7, the lower right photo. And on page 3, the next page, the lower right photo and the upper left photo. Number 8, dwelling lacks approved heating facilities capable of maintaining room temperature 68 degrees, 3 feet off the floor in all habitable rooms. The furnace that's in there is a gas wall furnace, and it requires electricity to operate. So that means they have no heat in this dwelling. Those are the violations that I've identified, and the city's asking for relief. The first item A in the relief is correction of all the violations. Item B, civil penalties for housing inspections, two housing inspections only, at $146 per inspection for a total of $292. The cost of this hearing, $1,215, and additional penalties of $2,000. We're asking for restoration of the electrical service within 10 days, and the penalty for failure to meet that is a vacation of the property. Our request is that the vacate occur at the same time that the hearings officer's order becomes effective, to make this happen as quickly as possible. D, correction of all the remaining housing code violations identified in attachment A within 30 days, and a penalty for failure to meet that deadline of $2,000. And then we talk about vacation of the property, item E. This lays out the type of issues that we want to address in the vacation of the property, which is to secure the property against entry and retain it against re-entry by a security board up to guard against unauthorized entry in the event that someone still breaks in on the security board up. We'd ask that the city be authorized to summarily board up and secure the property till the vacation order is no longer in effect, that we'd be allowed to enter the property without benefit of a search warrant and do the summary board up. In the event, F is recurrence of violations. If during the hearings officer's jurisdiction in this case the violations reoccur, we're asking for a vacation of the property. This applies to an accumulation of trash and debris in excess of 2 cubic yards, disruption of water or electrical service, or interruption of trash service by a licensed hauler. For cost recovery, in the event that the property is vacated by the city, we're asking that any associated costs with the vacation be the city be recompensed for that. And there are some specifics there based on how inspection cost, fines and fees based on current nuisance abatement issues. In the event that the city needs to relocate the occupant there, item H, the owner is to pay all costs of relocation of the occupants of this dwelling. And we'd ask for the hearings officer to retain jurisdiction for a period of 120 days. There's just an aside note that I would like to indicate here. On exhibit 22, I believe it is the history of the property. I just want to note that I was at the property this morning, and the violations that were corrected were extremely minimal. I don't think that was not reflected on my original evidence packet. And then one more note is, I think it's exhibit 23. I did contact the property manager by telephone. After I got a phone number from the police, that phone number for real property management was 877-208-6694. And they also supplied the police a email address. So I both called them and sent them an email to inform them of the occurrence of the hearing, and that they would, it would be in their best interest to resolve the issues prior to the hearing. I sent that information on April 20th, both the phone call and the email. We're asking for the vacation here because of the severity of the violations. Electrical service is paramount to safety and living conditions, provides heat, illumination, cooking, and refrigeration of food. The additional penalty and vacate request, based on the fact that these are very significant health and sanitation and fire life safety issues, and they could affect the neighboring properties in the event that, for example, someone decided to build a fire to keep warm, or other issues, electrical issues. And that's all.
All right, I'm going to find the testimony of Mr. McKee to be credible and accurately reflect the events or the circumstances surrounding the property that is subject to this case, which is 4650 Northeast 112th and within the city of Portland. So I'm going to find that the violations 1 through and including 8, with the exception of number 2. So 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. So I did not include 2 as being current violations. Is that correct, Mr. McKee?
That's correct.
All right, so all right, I'm going to find that the violations listed in number 1, number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 all constitute either fire life safety violations or health sanitation violations, all of which place occupants and guests and visitors of the subject property to potentially serious risks for their safety, and also that the failure to have electricity and heat does constitute an additional danger potentially to neighboring properties. With that said, then I'm going to find that the requested relief as described by Mr. McKee is generally reasonable. I've been sort of modifying it ever so slightly, but in essence I'm hoping that with my modifications, it still has the same goal and still accomplishes the same purposes. But I'm going to find that the requested relief by Mr. McKee is reasonable. Anything further, Mr. McKee?
Just one comment briefly. I had gotten a order on a property previous to this hearing, a separate property, but I just want to comment that based on the order that was written on the property at 415 Northeast 80th, the city found that it had been broken into again, and it makes it easy for us to go ahead and re-enter the property and do the quick board up that we need to do there and secure it again. So that's just, I don't know, kind of a kudo, I guess.
All right. I'm going to find that the violations exist. The request of relief is reasonable and appropriate. I will issue an order accordingly. The only unique thing that I just need to make a note to myself is that I will, in the findings, indicate that vacation should be done in a timely manner. But I'm probably not going to change anything in the order itself, because once it becomes effective, you have the ability to move ahead, subject to legal advice that you may receive from the city attorney's office. It's my opinion that once the order is signed, you have the right to move ahead. The problem is you take a risk by doing that until the 14 days runs. Life is a risk. Everything we do has some risks associated with our activities or actions. What I'm telling you is that my order, once signed, theoretically gives you some right of action, and on the date it becomes effective, certainly you have a right to move ahead.
Thank you.
As an aside, there's a 60-day writ of review period of which someone could actually take it to court. So there's even a risk after the order becomes effective. So if you think you've avoided risk by simply waiting until that day, you have not avoided all risk until you've actually waited 60 days. But my direction to you and your bureau in the past has been that as soon as the order becomes effective, you have my authority, and some of them I've said, please do it on that day or as soon thereafter as possible. So I leave that to your discretion. It would seem to me that with the occupancy, without the egress from the at least the one bedroom, and the lack of heat and electricity, that those do constitute issues that are constitute dangers and risks that should be vacated in a timely fashion. I think that should almost always be the case.
Okay.
So with that, then I'll close the hearing. Thank you for coming.